Hello and a warm welcome to the sunny side of sports. I'm Peter Clote, sitting in for the vacationing Sonny Young. We begin with today's show with boxing. IBO and WBA middleweight champion Gennady GGG Golovkin will defend his title against tough Australian boxer and former world title holder Daniel Real Deal Gill on Saturday at the Madison Square Garden in New York. This will be Golovkin's third title defense at the Madison Square Garden. Analysts say Golovkin is on a mission not just to hold on to his title, but also to become a major attraction in the sport. A language barrier and a lack of signature opponent have slowed Golovkin's rise in popularity with American boxing fans. Australian Gill looks to slay the beast, who has become one of the most intimidating fighters today. Floyd Money Mayweather Jr. can now organize a market fight in Nevada all on his own. The Nevada Athletic Commission unanimously voted to grant the undefeated welterweight champion a promoter's license. Mayweather is a licensed promoter in Washington and New York. Advisors say the boxer plans to seek licenses in other states.
That's why I'm lucky for. That's why the people call me. In Nigeria, people call me Playboy, but that was my whole name.
Yeah.
But when I travel overseas, I'm like, I'm a lucky boy.
Lucky boy in Hollywood.
Lucky boy in Australia, lucky boy in Hollywood.
Soccer's world governing body FIFA said on Friday it remains committed to the 2018 World Cup in Russia and says a boycott will not be an effective way of reducing tensions in the Ukrainian region following the shooting down of the Malaysia airline in Ukraine. This came after the Dutch Football Association said it wanted to postpone discussion over participation in the next World Cup until after a national day of mourning to remember the victims, two-thirds of whom were from the Netherlands. FIFA said the World Cup will be a powerful catalyst for constructive dialogue between people and government, uniting teams and nations. New Brazilian coach Dunga has named Andre Lopez as his assistant manager and given former World Cup winners Taffarel and Mauro Silva places on his backroom team. The little-known Lopez was Dunga's assistant when he coached Internacional last year. Taffarel, who will be goalkeeping coach, played alongside Dunga when they won the World Cup in 1994, as did Mauro Silva, the former midfielder, who Dunga said will help him where and when needed. They were among the 13 new names appointed to provide backup to Dunga, who was made Brazil's national team coach on Tuesday. Moving to West Africa, Nigeria's football governing body, the Nigerian Football Federation, or NFF, is scheduled to hold an emergency congress by the end of the month. This comes after the federation's executive board dismissed NFF president Alhaji Aminu Maigari after he was impeached for alleged misuse of funds. Vice President Mike Ume will now step up to serve as acting president. Maigari, who only returned to his post last week after a court order restraining him from acting as president of the NFF, was vacated in order to escape a permanent FIFA ban, was voted out by 8 of the 13-member NFF executive committee, while 5 voted in his favor. For details, I reached out to Ben Alozie, sports editor for the Union newspaper in Nigeria.
Since the impeachment of the president of Nigeria Football Federation, Alhaji Maigari, there have been I'm on easy calm amongst members of the Federation executive. And the July 31st Emergency Congress would ratify the impeachment of Maigari. That is basically why the Congress would hold on that day. However, there are fears that more members of the executive board may also suffer the same fate on that day, as that others are scheming to ensure that those who were part of the so-called Maigari cabal would also go his way.
What led to Alhaji Maigari's impeachment?
Recall that at the FIFA World Cup in Brazil, the Super Eagles they held the federation to ransom, demanding payment of their bonuses, and that didn't go well down well with the government. And the government felt so embarrassed. And so as soon as the party was over in Brazil, the government, you know, started a process to ensure that the board was dissolved. You remember that there was a court case against the federation that precipitated the intervention of the Ministry of Sports, which immediately appointed, you know, an acting secretary general for the Nigerian Football Federation. You know, but that didn't also go down well with FIFA. And immediately FIFA announced suspension of Nigeria, demanding that the court case be withdrawn and the board be reinstated. That was done, but watchers were quite apprehensive of that action because it was suspected that that was just a quick intervention that would really lead to the sack of the board, which, of course, has just happened. So the Congress the executive board members met and accused Mugabe of running a one-man show. That is, that he never called for a board meeting for 8 months. They accused him of misappropriation of funds, misapplication of funds, maladministration, and so on and so forth. So they said no, that he must be impeached. And a vote was cast, and out of the 13 members that were present, 8 voted for his impeachment, while 5 voted against. And according to the status of the matter, stated that a simple majority would guarantee such an action. And by that, he was impeached immediately.
Well, some of his supporters are saying he should be credited rather than being impeached because he led Nigeria to win the Nations Cup after the last time Nigeria won the Cup in 1994. So what so angered Nigerians that it precipitated his downfall?
Well, the government is not looking at it from that perspective. The government felt truly, really embarrassed by the action of the players. Because according to the government, enough funds was released to the federation to ensure that no such ugly incident occurs at the World Cup. That is one. There's no taking away the truth that Mugabe board has achieved quite a lot, unprecedented in the history of Nigerian football. But be that as it may, having committed such impeachable offences like, you know, misappropriation, alleged misappropriation, and you know, not calling for board meeting for 8 months, it meant so much. And the fact that he was running the board alone, you know, with maybe one or two members of the 15-man board, that was strong enough reason to impeach him. The results, our achievements notwithstanding.
How are Nigerian football fans reacting to this impeachment and the rancor in the NFF?
Well, expectedly, there has been a wide condemnation because of what a lot of people perceive as the backlash of such a, you know, what has become a tradition. Every 4 years, maybe after every World Cup, there will be a problem in the Nigerian Football Federation whereby the leadership will be sacked. Recall that as soon after the World Cup in South Africa 2010, the Sunny Lulu board, they were sacked, and before the election of this present board. So Nigerians are not happy that they contend that this will not augur well for the growth of the game. For instance, they said that the corporate bodies will be scared to invest in Nigerian football, and that Nigerian football needs the support of the corporate world, the corporate companies to come in. But with this becoming, you know, a frequent thing, and there's all sorts of negative words, allegations of misappropriation, embezzlement, and so on and so forth, every time, that no corporate body would be very place to identify with a body that is always a mess with such controversy. And that is the number one factor. Two, that it does not make for continuity, that the Megari board would have been left to continue from where they stopped, because they feel that everyone feels that they have done and they have done so much, you know, to Nigerian football, and that if they are left, definitely Nigerian football will be better for it.
Ben Alozie is sports editor for the Union newspaper in Nigeria. He spoke with me from the commercial capital, Lagos. And now Daybreak Africa sports editor Mark Ouma has today's sports rundown. Take it away, Mark.
We begin at the IAAF World Junior Athletics Championships in Eugene, Oregon State, in the United States of America. Hadja Sukal clocked 10 minutes and 31.91 seconds to set an Algeria Junior Women's 3,000-meter steeplechase national record on Thursday. On the infield, Egyptian Mohamed Magdi Hamza Khalifa qualified for the finals in men's shot put when he heaved the implement to a lifetime best of 19.55 meters. Back on the track, Ghana's Emmanuel Dasor clocked a lifetime best of 20.75 seconds to win his 200-meter heat, while Nigeria's Africa Youth and Junior Champion Divine Oduduru ran 20.89 seconds to also qualify for the 200-meter semifinals. Turning to football, Egypt's Zamalek hosts the Democratic Republic of Congo's TP Mazembe in mini-league action of the Orange Africa Champions League in Cairo today, Friday. Tomorrow, Saturday, Tunisian clubs CS Sfaxien and Esperance face off. On Sunday, the Democratic Republic of Congo's Vita face Sudan's El Hilal as Libya's El Ahli Benghazi play Algeria's Entente Setif. Elsewhere, Zambia's Nkana welcome Tunisia's Etoile du Sahel in Orange Africa Confederations Cup action tomorrow, Saturday. The Ivory Coast's Sewe Sports and ASEC Mimosa play Egypt's El Ahly and Cameroon's Cotton Sport respectively, while on Sunday the Republic of Congo's AC Leopards host Mali's AS Real de Bamako.
That was Daybreak Africa sports editor Mark Ouma with the day's sports rundown. Have a good weekend, Mark. Six-time gold Olympic medalist Usain Bolt says he's ready to put in a good showing in the relay at the Commonwealth Games after recovering from foot surgery and a hamstring injury. The Jamaican, who missed 9 weeks of training after surgery on his left foot in March, says he's back in a sub-10-second shape after training twice a day to get ready for the Glasgow Games. Bolt will return to Rio de Janeiro next month to run a special 100 meters on the beach, but the Jamaican world record holder is now unlikely to race against American Justin Gatlin this year. Officials of the Cameroon Football Federation, or FECAFOOT, announced at a news conference that they were stepping down at the end of the year. For details, I spoke with Nana Walter Wilson, sports editor for the Post newspaper in the country's capital, Yaoundé.
Yeah, you know, after the World Cup, we've not heard much about the Cameroon Football Federation, the officials of the normalization committee, but they held a press conference recently. And they came out with some exciting statements that, first of all, they are actually going to leave office on December 2, 2014, which means that the statutes that they drew up, that the revision committee drew up, the revision and legal committee drew up and sent to FIFA, has been validated. And so they were making it public to the press in particular, and that elections are going to hold beginning in the month of October, November, and then finally those who will be elected will now get into office officially on December 2, 2014. So the statute now gives the precision of who can be a candidate for the top job of the Cameroon Football Federation.
What prompted them to decide to leave office?
No, you recall that after the last meeting they had with FIFA, where the FIFA representative, Mr. Kovaro, came to Cameroon about 2 months before we went to the World Cup, it was clear that they are expected to leave office at the close of November 2014. So they have now come back, they have not looked at their schedule, they have not seen that everything is moving on as planned, according to FIFA advice. So they now say that, okay, officially, they are going to leave office on December 2, which means that we're going to have elections at the regional level of FECAFOOT in the country for the 10 regions, and then which will now have the members who make up the college to go to Yaoundé for the final election for the national executive. So between now and December 2, these processes will be going on across Cameroon.
Cameroon football fans were not particularly happy with their FECAFOOT's organizational ability at the World Cup that led to the abysmal performance of the Indomitable Lions. How has been the reaction of the population of the football fraternity following the announcement that they will be leaving office by the end of the year?
No, of course, a lot of Cameroonians just want the current team to go as fast as possible. So they're just waiting for the official date, which is the end of November 2014. So Cameroonians are just saying that, okay, this is a timetable. We now, people who want to get into that office and take Cameroon football one step forward are now given the opportunity to put in their candidature. For instance, the new statutes indicate that the new president of the federation must stay in Yaoundé, and so that you can always be consulted, or she can always be consulted anytime. And then, interestingly, those who will be going in as president of the federation, they have to pay a caution fee of France CFA, 2 million. So they want to put some seriousness into it. And then, various commissions have been created, you know, to make Cameroon football more active, more vibrant. You know, like for the first time, we're going to have a commission in charge of animation and entertainment. So we, like, supporters guilds, supporters clubs are going to come up, register officially, who can move out and represent Cameroon in bigger numbers. You know, because if we discover when Cameroon is going for international competitions, we don't have a huge supporter team. We only have, officials who just go there, bloated officials who don't go there just to make money out of the federation and from the government.
So what happens to the president's demand for an investigation into the performance of both FECAFOOT and the Indomitable Lions at the World Cup?
That is a seemingly an independent issue. At the close of this month, we are expecting the Prime Minister to tell Cameroonians what he has found out in the last 1 month. Cameroonians are on the edge, the media in Cameroon are on the edge, waiting for that report from the Prime Minister. Because people have to be sanctioned for the bad things that happened at the World Cup 2014 in Brazil. Cameroonians want to see people pay for the bad things that they have done for the country. So the media, the Cameroonian public, they are waiting for the Prime Minister's report at the close of this month. It's a very serious issue. Cameroonians are waiting.
Don't you think the government decision to investigate could be seen by FIFA as an interference and could possibly place sanctions on FECAFOOT and, for that matter, Cameroon?
No. This issue about FIFA getting into football in the African continent, always saying that they are intervening, it's a worrying issue. It's worrying is that because the public opinion in Cameroon is that, and even in Nigeria, where the FIFA lifted the sanctions recently, the worry, Peter, is that the government puts a lot of money into football and individuals mismanage the money. And FIFA does not quarrel those individuals who mismanage money. Look at the way money was spent from Cameroon's government, from the federation's coffers in Brazil. The FIFA is not saying anything about that. FIFA is giving Cameroon a lot of billions of France CFA to run football in the country. The individuals are chopping their money. And then the football is not going ahead. Why is FIFA not quarreling with those people? So the government is stepping in to say that they run football and sporting activities in the country and the officials must be answerable to them, FIFA or not FIFA. Because what is happening is that it is the football of the country that must go forward. Football and sports in Cameroon is more than a game. It's life for the people. It's business for the people. So it must be handled with a lot of professionalism. That is what the government is saying.
Have you heard anything from the players following the decision by FECAFOOT to leave office?
No, from the way our football is structured, the players have no place. They have no place. The players, where their limit is at the level of the national team. The people who are making inputs into how FECAFOOT can go forward are the former players, the Roger Millars, the Joseph Bell Antoine, the Steven Tato, the Ntip Akems, and all the big names you can talk of, and all the names who have gone past, hundreds of them. Those are the people who are coming in as former players at the level of the federation to see how they can contribute in making the federation a better institution for the betterment of Cameroon football. But the current players, they have nothing to say. Oh, well, they only wish that the administrators should do something good for them, for the betterment of their place there on the green top.
What have these old players or former players of the Indomitable Lions been saying about the organization of football as well as the performance of the team in Brazil?
Yeah, I'll give you two particular people, or maybe three. One, Joseph Ben Antoine Bell has been very vocal about the management of football in Cameroon. Joseph Antoine Bell thinks that people who have been in football for a long time, old players who have a lot of knowledge about football, should be at the center of the management. It's the same argument that Roger Abemila has been saying, that we must have people who have a notion of football, people who have lived the game, people who have been in the game, because they will understand the plight of the players, they will understand the plight of the supporters. But when you bring bureaucrats, you bring administrators to come and manage an institution that they don't have too much knowledge and they don't have too much feeling about it, that is where problem comes in. The administrators, they're only coming from the parochial interest. They're only coming for the money. But they don't have the interest of the game. They're not interested in building stadia across the country. They're not interested in building the game from the grassroots. That is the problem in Cameroon, that football at the grassroots is not developed. We only have players who struggle here and there. When they find themselves in Europe, that's when they start looking for them. But nobody was there at the base to prepare them, like we see in Ghana. That is the biggest problem in Cameroon. There is no platform to prepare football in Cameroon from the base. And that is why we're having huge problems. Players don't feel for their country. I mean, the way our players played at Brazil 2014, you could see that those guys don't feel for Cameroon. They don't feel that somebody in Yaoundé is watching them, somebody in Douala, somebody in Boya, somebody in Kumba, somebody in Marwa, in Garoua is watching them. Maybe you have a player who comes from the base who know that my family is back there in Kumba watching me, he will give me all his heart. Look at what happened after Brazil. Not half of the team came to Cameroon. They all went back to their Imbuda families in Europe. That is the biggest problem with Cameroon. The players don't feel patriotic for the country because they don't come from the base.
Nana Walter Wilson is sports editor at the Post newspaper in Cameroon. He spoke with me from the capital, Yaoundé. The Council for East and Central Africa Football Association, or CECAFA, released the fixtures of the 40th edition of the CECAFA Kagame Cup Championship, which is scheduled to be staged at Amahoro and Kigali Stadia from August 8th to 24th. Earlier, CECAFA spokesperson Rogers Mulindwa spoke to me about the competition.
Yeah, we have released the fixtures today. We are kicking off on 8th of August, and we shall be having the group stages, the last matches of the group stages on 17th of August. And then we have the finals played on 24th of August. The same day we shall have a classification match, or the third place playoff. We expect a number of 12 clubs coming, and of course it's going to be a very interesting tournament. The last time we had it, we were in Darfur, it was equally interesting, but we hope when we are in Kigali, where our patron, General Kagame, the president of Rwanda, is, of course, he has done a lot to make sure this tournament comes up in a more organized manner, and we have already received the prize money from him. We already have it in our account.
What specifically are the fixtures, if you can give me a rundown of the fixtures, and what is the cash prize that you got from President Kagame?
The president, this is the 13th year that he has been giving prize money for the Kagame Club Championship. And actually, it's the reason why we call it CECAFA Kagame Club Championship. It gives in $60,000, where the winner takes $30,000. Then the first runners-up takes $20,000 and $10,000 for the third-place club. For the fixture, I know the official opening match, the real official one, will be between Yanga and Rayon Sport. Rayon Sport of Rwanda are the defending champions, the league champions in Rwanda. The other details, match by match, I may not be able to give them because I was out of the office and I was on the way traveling. But what's very important here is also that we are going to conduct the fitness test for the referees. We expect a total of 18 referees and assistant referees going to Kigali by FIFA to do the medical tests on FIFA, and then they will be undergoing the fitness tests on FIFA. But we want to warn the federations against sending unfit referees because the costs will be on the federation or the member association to have them back in case they fail the fitness test. We do this to ensure that we minimize the likely expenses of preparing one ticket for one referee and then the following day fails the fitness test and you have to look around for another one. So the federation should ensure that the referees we are getting are to that expectation of the SECAFA.
Will the fitness match that of FIFA or World Governing Body standard?
Yeah, it's actually we use the same standard and we have a very competent technical committee which is headed by Mr. Charles Masembe. Charles Masembe is a member of the CAF, Referees Committee. We also have a team from Rwanda, very technical people, who are also in FIFA. Actually, all our committees in SECAFA, the medical, where we have Dr. Sekajuga and the others, who is in FIFA, the media committee I head. I also happen to be, I'm a member of the CAF media committee. So we have very experienced and technical people to handle each department. So we don't get compromised on standards. We have to ensure that standards is given a priority. The reason why we feel our region has not been doing very well is because maybe some people have not taken this very serious. And therefore, when it comes to World Cup qualifiers, Africa Cup of Nations, we have not done very well for the last so many years. But of recent, you can see Sudan, you can see Ethiopia, you can see. So we want to keep working harder and harder so that we can in the future take the places of the West African countries maybe. When we continue working hard and focused.
A lot of East Africans have expressed concern that their teams appear not to be doing well on the African stage and by extension, the world stage. It happens to be Central and West Africa and somewhat North Africans who dominate African football. So is this a CAFA tournament one of the means by which you're trying to change the paradigm?
There are quite a number of factors why some of our countries actually are not doing very well. It all starts from the preparations at home. Some national teams wake up when there is a particular tournament and then the coaches, wake up to start calling and summoning players, so bring them together. And then there are those countries where it's a daily activity for the national team coach to be doing the work even when there is no tournament. Others, actually, the sponsorship is also another issue. They don't have the sponsors to take them through a year of training, playing friendly matches, and the likes. Others yet do have them, but technically maybe they have not perfected. So there are quite a number of factors. But we are trying to say we give attention to all these challenges so that we make sure. Because in this continent of Africa, I think the CAFA region is having more competitive activities than any other zone in the CAF area. So if we are playing, we have youth tournaments under 16. This time we introduced Nairo Benson Cup, which we had in Sudan. We have the club championship, the Kagame Cup. We are going to have the under-23 in September, which is going to go back to Khartoum in Sudan. I think we shall wind up the year with another very big tournament, senior tournament, that is the CAFA Challenge Cup.
Rogers Mulindwa is spokesperson for the Council for East and Central Africa Football Associations, or SECAFA. He spoke with me from Uganda's capital, Kampala. Well, folks, this is about all time will permit us for today in the extended edition of the Sunny Side of Sport. Sunny will be with you on Monday. Our engineer for today is Adrius Regis. I'm Peter Clotty. Bye for now.
Fee.